33 of Cracking the Spine podcast show. I'm Sean.
I'm Zane.
I'm Josh.
And how's it going, guys? How's everybody doing tonight?
We're back for episode 33.
The Larry Bird of episodes.
The 11 times 3 of episodes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not a prime number episode.
Not a prime number.
We won't hit another one of those for another 4 episodes.
37.
God willing.
Oh, boy.
I don't think I can make it another 4.
Well, let's see.
Oh, boy.
Did you read anything this week?
No.
Cool. Zane, what'd you read this week?
I didn't finish anything.
All right.
I didn't finish anything.
Well, I'm still...
Well, she's reading 2 books, dude.
I'm reading 3 books.
What? Mm-hmm. Doing all the heavy lifting for Josh around here.
Well, not really, because I'm not making much progress with them, just because I haven't had a lot of time.
What's the third one?
Was it The Cure for Dreaming?
The Cure for Dreaming by Kat Winters. Dead House, which I haven't picked that up again. Yeah. I would like to.
That's the one that's like the case file.
And then this book, Bream Gives Me Hiccups by Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, Facebook wrote a book.
Jesse Eisenberg wrote this book?
Jesse Eisenberg crush dictated that I read that.
You like him?
I do.
It's a collection of short stories, right?
He looks like a human being in this. What do you call this photo?
He looks like Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook movie.
He looks like someone's cousin.
Did you start it?
I did.
Before your husband spilled water on it?
I did.
What?
I'm not very far into it. I'm only like...
What's it about? I mean, I'm curious.
30 pages into it? I don't know yet.
It's a collection of short stories.
It's a collection of short stories.
Yeah, I think they're like... it's like humor kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
I think BJ Novak wrote one similar to it that was like, I think it was called And More or More Like This or something like that. That's like all like collected short stories that are supposed to be humorous.
Yeah. Right now, the beginning of the book is like, it's restaurant reviews by like a 6-year-old or something.
All right.
And it's like, it's interesting. It's kind of funny in like a dark way that I guess I would expect from Jesse Eisenberg.
All right. He's Lex Luthor, you know.
Yeah.
Is there any short stories about him being Lex Luthor?
I don't know. I'm not all the way through the book yet.
Are there any short stories about him getting dumped at Harvard and starting a very popular social media?
If he would have invented Facebook, he would have invented Facebook.
That's true.
He's writing stories that no one in this room, especially your client, are capable of writing. So yes, you are getting the minimum of his attention.
Yep.
Damn, that was good.
Dude, I love that movie.
Yeah, that movie's great.
Pretty good.
That movie's great.
David Fincher and screenwriter, I can't think of his name.
Aaron Sorkin.
Aaron Sorkin. It's like, yeah.
I like The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah, Rooney Mara.
I haven't seen that.
The new one?
Yeah.
The old ones are good too, but
In that movie, right? She's the girl in the beginning?
Yeah, she's his girlfriend. Yeah.
Right.
Lizbeth.
She was also in Prometheus.
She was not in that.
Rudy Mara was in Prometheus.
No.
No.
That's
the other girl who played Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah, that's the original that's Girl the with original. The Dragon Tattoo.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
I will bet you $37,000.
I have 55 cents in my pocket. We will check it a break.
Oh,
Zane, make a note that we actually have to get back to this.
I know that you're super wrong. What is her name, that other actress?
Naomi Rapace.
Yeah, that's it. Noomi.
Noomi Rapace.
Okay, cool, great.
She's the one who's in Prometheus.
Okay, no, but okay.
Oh, man.
I'm making a note of it.
It's gonna be sweet.
Sean, what are you reading?
I gave up on my short story book. Speaking of short story books.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was reading that.
The video game one was
Press Start to Play.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We finished the podcast, and I went and I read another one, and it was not good. And then I started one after it, and I was like, not good in the beginning.
You talked yourself out of reading this book.
Well, what happened was I flipped through, and there's 500 pages in it.
Oh my god,
that's long.
That's too much. I feel like
for sure a collection of short stories,
especially short stories about video games. I feel like
I pulled the cord. I was like, nah, I'm done. So I started reading a book called Abomination. By, I think his name is Gary Whitta.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's Whitta. I think it's Gary. It's the same author who wrote The Book of Eli.
Mm.
And this is, dude, this book is good.
You've been on this, like, sci-fi, like...
This actually isn't sci-fi. This is historical, like, Dark Ages horror almost. Ooh. You would love it.
Are there werewolves in it?
No. Like black magic.
Four books at a time, here I come.
Like knights, like fallen knights and kings of England. All right.
Yeah, I'm gonna read the shit out of this
book. Dude, it's so good. I started it yesterday and I'm like 200 pages into it. I can't stop reading it.
I'm due for a really good book.
It's really fucking good. I recommend it to anybody. Abomination, Gary Whitta.
On it.
So,
write it down for me.
I always write it down.
55 cents.
Put it and next to the 7 other books that we've given him that he hasn't touched in
you've
a month.
You've given
and a
me
half.
3 and you're not
And how
wrong.
Many have you read?
Well, you have Head Full of Ghosts.
Time.
Oh,
time
that.
Hole.
The Wormhole book.
Wormhole book.
Oh, The Fold.
The Fold.
Yeah.
Right.
Time Hole.
Peter mm-hmm. Klein.
Peter Klein. Klein's.
And you gave me the, like, that bathroom book. Of jokes.
Hey-o.
Like, Where Jokes Come From book.
Oh, the,
I don't remember the name of it.
The encyclopedia one.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You gave me that one.
Cool.
In case anyone on the internet was interested in what Josh is not currently reading.
That's right.
The reason
There's
I didn't
a
read,
full list for you.
The reason I don't read that, I haven't read that book yet, is because I don't poop.
All right. The more you know.
Right on.
So just to do some, like, housekeeping kind of stuff, a couple of shows, episodes ago, we did banned books.
Yes.
And we put out a call to listeners if anybody had any experience from their life of a banned situation, and we got an email
from
listener Amy. Thank you, Amy. And she said...
Hi, Amy.
She said, hi, Sean, Zane, and Josh.
Yay!
Second filling.
Yeah, that's okay. I understand.
Here's my first memory of banned books. Just finished your latest show. Keep up the great work. Thanks. We do great work. So we will keep. Let's keep doing it, guys.
All right. We'll try.
So she said, my first memory of books being banned was in 10th grade when my teacher, Mr. Isaacson, said we'd be reading The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. And went over the fact it was challenged many times, but since we were in an honors class, he was going to assign it. We had to get our permission slips signed by our parents to read it.
Huckleberry Finn.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I was all ready to read this controversial book, but was surprised to find not that much that was radical. It was just a book with messages, same as any other. I do remember loving the book, and it's a favorite to this day, probably because we were so trusted to read it in school and handle it maturely and to gain the proper insights the book had to offer.
Yeah.
From Amy. So how about that? Like
Huckleberry Finn. I can see, like, I don't know, when was this?
I was going to say not to ask Amy her age, but I'd be curious to know if this was, like, super recently, or...
I think I know, if it's the Amy I think it is, she's somewhere between my age and your age, Zane.
Okay.
So, somewhat recently.
Yeah.
I could see people having a problem with some of the names in that book now.
Yeah, and the N-words in that book. That's why
the
usually N-words,
that's, sure. That's why people take offense to it. But to have to, I don't know, it's Huck Finn.
Yeah.
To have to sign a permission slip is crazy to me.
Also, I'm against rafting in general.
You really don't like rivers.
Without a life jacket?
Yeah.
But I like the insights, and it's kind of the same thing you said, that like the book is kind of a favorite because of the fact that they were trusted at that age to handle it maturely and to be okay. Like to, you know, to face the controversy head on just to realize that there's no real controversy
to have
there.
An intelligent discussion and even if the book is controversial, talk about why that is.
Perhaps someday we'll have an intelligent discussion.
I don't...
Hasn't happened yet.
We're praying like
Certainly
hell
not with Josh here.
Speaking of Josh being here...
I'm here.
The votes were cast
over
the week.
Is Josh Bott coming back? I voted for him.
Yeah. I don't know that anyone voted for Josh.
I don't think... No one voted. In fact... We got a write-in vote for a character from another show you do, Granola...
Daniel.
Granola Daniel.
Of fucking course we did.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think there were like 8 votes for Josh Bott, but your vote doesn't count, Josh.
My vote counts the most.
Okay. But unfortunately, I did not bring Josh Bott tonight.
He's in the shop.
Yeah,
bummer.
He's not here.
He's getting his oil replaced with human blood.
Sure.
I was worried he was becoming too close to sentience. He was like firing people last week.
Like,
he was, yeah.
He's like R2.
Power
you gotta wipe his memory.
Getting all big in his titanium britches. They didn't wipe R2's
memory.
They
don't, which is why he's like sentient.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Like he's like a AI.
Mm.
Oh, sorry. Did we get off on a tangent?
And then in Harry
Rudy
Potter,
Moore?
Something happens and it's magic.
Sure.
So that's all the loose ends I needed to tie up. You guys have anything else need to get to?
No, I don't think so.
You don't have to.
I hate when you put us on the spot.
Yeah. Wow. All right. It was just an open-ended question. Great. So then in that case, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about something that I think none of the three of us actually really like.
Yes.
That should be interesting. When we come on back to Cracking the Spine.
Josh again.
Still Sean. Isn't 33 the number on the Rolling Rock bottles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, they don't know why.
Yeah. No, oh, Josh, does. Put out your hand.
But it's because of Mason's, because that's a Mason thing. Oh, yeah. Thing.
Josh, put out your hand.
Give me my money.
25. 35.
Okay.
45. 55.
Can I get this in nickels,
Josh,
please?
Won the bet about Rooney Mara.
I kind of was right. The girl from the dragon tattoo was also in Social Network.
That's totally what you said.
That's
and you can absolutely go back and listen to what that.
There's no record.
No record at all.
Records from those times are spotty at best. I get to edit this show anyway, so.
You should just edit in yourself going, know me repace. Just real bad.
And then you, like was in Prometheus.
You're going to have to do that now.
No, yeah.
No, it's funnier this way. All right, so.
What are we talking about?
Tonight we are talking about poetry. Which is interesting that both of you made that noise, considering that we're doing this off of Sean's insistence.
I think it merits a conversation.
It does.
Because it's a very big genre, very big part of literature.
Yes.
Like, everyone at some point, and don't front, at some point in your life you wrote poems.
Yeah. I like to write haikus, but right. I like to write, like, jokes.
Uh-huh.
And that makes sense, right? Like, haiku jokes. Are those poems, though?
You never wrote a poem for a girl? You never wrote a girl a poem? Like
I
a
never
love
wrote
poem.
A girl a poem. I've written girls songs. That was a thing.
Did they rhyme?
Well, lyrics are lyrics, so that's like a poem.
It's a poem.
It doesn't have to rhyme to be a poem.
Though. No, I know, but if you're writing a song that rhymes, it's a poem.
Well, I mean, I would
I
say
actually
that
wanted to ask that. Are lyrics considered poems?
I think, I mean, I, to my, yes,
I
would
say
yes.
I would say yes also.
Because I think that then suddenly, like, yeah, I really like poetry.
Yeah.
Ooh, all right.
You know, okay. Like, it changes things.
I see what you did there.
You flipped the script on me. You're a wily one tonight.
Okay.
No, let's, all right, so, but like, my original thought was like, coffee shop, like
yeah,
yeah.
Beat Harriet,
poetry,
sweet,
right?
Harriet,
you know, I stopped by Woods on Snowy Eve, kind of stuff.
Here's the thing, I really like poetry. I like to be read poetry. I like it, but I also hate it. I would never just read a poetry book. I wouldn't. I don't know. Like, it's kind of like experimental film. Like, you can get something out of it. But, like, I'm not going to sit and watch, like, a bunch of experimental films.
See, I feel like it's, like, an experimental film in that I did it in college, and
never going to go back.
It's enough of that.
Never going to go back. I agree.
Like, I used to go to open mic nights at the coffee shop on campus and, like, read poems.
I've been,
people would...
Snap, yeah.
Right?
I've been to a New Hope beatnik poetry reading with, like, all these old hippies where they're doing, like, beatnik poems, and I was like...
Jonah Peters?
Yeah, no, it was, it was near where that taco place is. No one's gonna know. No one cares about this. But, no one even knows where New Hope is. but yeah, they were doing the snaps, and I was like, I did that one time.
Right.
I'm good.
Right. I think what it is, it's like, it's such a pretentious, selfish act.
Well, yes.
Like my inner. I'm sorry, Zane. Go ahead.
I think it's outdated.
I agree with this.
Not that it's like not relevant or like useful anymore, but I think we are in a place now where poetry seems cheesy and it seems archaic.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go back and you can read like Tennyson and you can read like Lord Byron and stuff and be like, I can appreciate that when they wrote this was significant and this was meaningful.
Right. Yeah.
But now it's sort of secondhand embarrassing, and it's even more so to read like modern poetry.
Yeah, modern poetry.
Like you can
especially.
Kind of forgive older poetry for being flowery and I don't think that it will never come back. I just think at this current moment in time, it's like,
do you think that's a product of the times? I don't want this to sound like a jerk question, but do you think that's a product of the times like that we're living in now, or do you think that's a product of your age? Do you think that college undergrads now are still going to open mic nights and reading their free form?
I mean, I'm sure there are, but there's also like still college undergrads who are playing like freeform jazz,
right?
And you know, like thinking that the flute is the coolest thing ever. Like, you know, like, that's just because some college students are doing it doesn't mean that it's, like, that's the super relevant.
But was it, I guess the question is, was it relevant when we were into it?
I think that it's sort of, and I think slam poetry had a lot to do with this. It got, like, real cheesy real fast. Right. Like, poetry became something that only, like, bleeding hearts did, and you know, you were a tortured artist, and like you said, like, it's selfish to get up and, like, read your poetry, you know, and it became something that, like, you know, a 13-year-old goth girl does, and, right, like, her school's open mic, and that's kind of a shame, because, like, there was cool poetry out there, but whatever it is right now, I think it's lost its relevance.
I would agree with that, but I would also disagree with that, because hip-hop also happened, and I think a lot of hip-hop took over the poetry, like, being good.
But I think that we make, like, again, if someone got up and just read poetry and they were all, like, snapping, it'd be like, embarrassing. But if you get up and you write a song and you play it on your acoustic guitar, not as embarrassing. Not, like, as we're embarrassing. Very accepting of
I think if somebody jumped up at an open mic and started rapping, like, freeform rapping, I'd get secondhand embarrassed.
Unless it was really good, maybe you would be like, wow, it's...
I kind of feel the same way about a poem. I don't know that I don't know that it's ever been more relevant, maybe more mainstream, like, in the 60s and the 70s, like, you have these, or the 50s and the 60s, rather, you have these, like, iconic stories of, like, Ginsberg and, there is a fly in here, you guys.
I'm not gonna kill it.
We need to get it out of here. No, like, in the open. There's a fly that Josh brought with him.
Yeah, well, I'm Pigpen.
I like that he got blamed on Josh.
That's it. You seem like the easy mark. Okay. Scene, so yeah,
Gotta take one out on me every now and then.
Gotta get my 55 cents worth.
All right.
Sorry.
I don't know, man. We're bringing up a lot of, like, time periods where, like, social change was happening. Yes. I think poetry can be great when you're reading poems about, like social problems or, you know, like, stuff like that. But, like, a lot of times, like, now, like you were saying, Zane, it seems juvenile. A lot of poetry is, 'cause there's no rules, right? And which, like, you know, that's great to say. Like, poem can be anything.
Right, the freeform thing.
But it's like, yeah, but it has to, like, be good. Like, you can't just be like, I wrote a bunch of my feelings down on a paper and it's poetry.
Well, that's Tumblr. I mean, that's what Tumblr's turned into. It's like, everyone on Tumblr is a poet. And, it's oversaturated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think that there's something to be said for hindsight being, like, beneficial to poetry. Like, you know, I don't know that, I mean, Emily Dickinson wasn't known when she was writing her poem. She didn't want to be known, right? But she died and everybody found it was like, oh my God, it's amazing. And, like, you know, is there someone right now who's, like, I don't even know who the poet laureate of the United States is.
I don't know.
We have one. We always have one.
Yeah, I don't know who the current poet laureate is.
But do you think in, like, 10 years, it's going to be, like, his or her poems are going to be like, boy, this was some great stuff that was being...
I think it's possible that we'll have, like, another cultural shift where poetry becomes acceptable as, like, a mainstream form of writing. But I just don't think that's where we are currently. So, like, in the current climate, no, I don't think that'll happen. Because, again, like, when was the last time... you can pick up, old beat poets, and you can pick up Edgar Allan Poe and, and all these older poems, and you can kind of forgive them for being flowery or, just, like, almost kind of cringeworthy.
Right.
Yeah, sappy.
Sappy, exactly. And you can forgive them because you're like, well, it was a different time. You know, this was
innocent.
It was cool.
More innocent, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and, like, this was a
Someone
really
the first,
respected
the first
form
ones
of...
to do it. Like, yeah. Poe. Like, Poe.
Poe, especially.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Shakespeare.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that, I don't know, because I just, every time you read, you're right, it sounds like Tumblr. Every time you read modern poetry, it's like, it's not.
Yeah.
Unless just it's in the form of a song.
I think the subject matter has a lot to do with it, too. If you're writing, if you're writing a poem about, like, you know, you feel sad, like, well, great. You know who else feels sad? Everybody. Right. Everybody feels sad. You're not tapping into some I'm not sitting there like reading it thinking, man, they really understand my sadness. I'm thinking this person just wants to talk about how they're sad.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. But like if you're talking about like an event or something and you're relating it to something else like artfully, then sure. Like there are poems I've read where I'm like, this is great and it made me feel things and I love them.
See, actually, yeah. I'm thinking now when you say that of like the opposite reaction to that, because like every time like Maya Angelou gets up to read a poem,
yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Oh
yeah, yeah,
yeah,
because
yeah.
It's that like that thing of like being so self-important and like she's so hyper aware of how
right.
like how everybody feels about, I mean, the majority of people
yeah.
feel about her. And, like, carries herself, I don't know, carries herself with this kind of, like, arrogance.
Yeah.
Well, it's that thing that I always complain about. Like, when she gets up to read a poem, you're supposed to be like, this is important.
Right, right.
Yes,
yeah.
this is dramatic, and
right.
I'm, you know, taking heed. Like, I don't like that expectation that, like, I have to be into and respect her work just because she's
not everything Maya Angelou
currently
wrote
a poet.
Was always, like, the best thing or whatever. Maybe I don't like Maya Angelou. I don't read Maya Angelou, but like, not that I don't like her as a person, but like, I don't like
her
stuff.
She has 50,
well, she's dead, so I'm never gonna. She is dead, right?
Is she?
I think she's dead.
Uh-oh.
Let's pause the podcast to find out if Maya Angelou is dead.
Yeah, let me take a look.
I honestly don't know.
I don't know. I think she is. Look up Rooney Mara, comma, and Maya Angelou.
Let's see here.
Now, how do you guys feel about something like epic poetry?
Like Beowulf?
Yeah.
Nope.
Or,
yeah.
Like, Inferno.
I do like Inferno. But
the Aeneid.
You know how I feel about it? Josh, you're right. She died last May.
Yes!
So,
I was right!
So you're
She's
never
dead! Yay! Maya Angelou's dead.
I feel like epic poetry, it's like I was saying before, like I went through my poetry phase, right? Like
right.
I read, like, I was for a long time, I was super into E.E. Cummings. I thought E.E. Cummings freeform stuff was beautiful, amazing, spoke to me.
Because you were 19, go on.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no, but no, that's what I'm saying.
I know.
And then like in my like mid-20s, when I first started working at an independent bookshop, I read Inferno and I read the Aeneid and I read, like, a translation of Seamus Heaney's Beowulf translation. And it was like, wow, those are triumphs of language.
Right.
But, like, I've never read... I will never read Inferno in its original language because I'm never going to learn, like, Italian.
Well,
yeah.
I spent 4 years in high school translating the Aeneid from Latin.
Okay.
Because you were super bored in high school.
Because I just had nothing else to do, which is kind of true. Because
you went to high school in a monastery, and they chained you to the desk.
With a feather quill.
Yeah.
And
make sure the cues are real artsy looking.
I mean, I do really enjoy reading translations of the Aeneid, because it's an awesome story. But reading it in its original language, it was a lot of work, but it was awesome.
Right.
Right, because that was why it was...
Because that's how it's
right.
intended. I mean, that being said, I do go back and I reread Inferno, and I love finding different translations of Inferno.
It's like listening to the German version of 99 Luftballons, and then listening to the American one. You lose something there.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
It's
but
exactly
it's, I mean,
like that.
It's cool to find different translations, and find a translation that you like, or that you...
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you read Latin, and like... That's kind of...
But
well,
like,
there were a bunch of Latin poets. Like, I kept thinking of really the only poet that I've ever, like, read and loved was Catullus, who was a Latin poet who wrote about, like, love and stuff. And
when was that from?
I don't have dates for you. I'm
long
sorry.
Time ago. Time
a very,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
well, I feel
ancient,
like...
Ancient
yeah.
Latin.
I feel
but,
like poetry
like,
is, like,
that
our
poetry
first...
Was awesome.
Poetry is, like, our first, like, foray into, like, we're going to... use words creatively.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that's why we think of it as archaic now, is because, like, we have so many other, like, forms
of communication.
Of communication.
Yeah.
Like, why would I just sit there and read you the words? Why wouldn't I involve other things? You know?
Going back to
that's
your Aeneid example from high school, Zane, you would never do that again, though, right? Like, you would never, like, for
Would you
pleasure,
Billy Madison?
Or for fun, like, pick up a Latin... poem that you've never read before and sit down and hammer out a translation.
No, I've never done that.
What you have? Like since
yeah.
like since graduating high school?
Yeah, I have. I mean
okay.
I'm not good at it anymore.
All right.
Because I don't have a daily use for Latin. But well,
if you get a time machine, we can change that. No one speaks it anymore.
I did it so much in high school, and then there's a lot of, like, cool poetry in Latin out there.
All right, touche.
For a while, yes, I would translate, but, man, I'm a loser.
Sorry, fellas, she's married.
Speak Latin to me. But, I mean, yeah, I liked it. It was cool, and it was worth it.
Cool.
But I guess I'm in...
Well, no, I mean,
very small minority.
I used to translate, like, Spanish, but not necessarily poems, because I did Spanish 3 straight years in high school. It's the only class I ever got straight A's in. And I loved the act of, like, actually what I would do more often is translate English into Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, not really for pleasure. Almost homework. Like a, almost like an obsessive compulsive kind of thing.
Well, I think that's kind of what Zane was doing. Did you do it as, like, an exercise? Like, as, like, a calm-your-mind type of thing? That seems like something
I don't know. I don't know. Translating Latin is weird because it's not... The way that I learned Latin, I learned...
from the, like, Pope?
I learned it from the Pope. And that was cool.
They called him Frank.
The end. And then I found $5.
Greatest story ever told.
No, but I didn't learn conversational Latin.
Yes, there is conversational Latin.
And it's different than, like, ancient, like, written Latin. And so translating Latin basically became more, like, on top of being academic, it was also a really terrible hobby.
Okay.
There's worse hobbies.
Yeah. But I
podcasting?
Mean,
podcasting,
sex addiction.
It was cool to, like read something in Latin, and, like, it looked like a cool poem, and then translate it and find out that, like, it actually was a pretty cool poem. Right. And I don't know. I mean, and there's something cool about doing your own translation. Like, that's why I was saying, like, I've read all these different translations of Dante's Inferno, and you find different translations that you like, and some that you're like, that's too, like, it's too stodgy of a translation and stuff. And when you do your own translation of a text, you have the ability to sort of phrase things in a way that you find pleasing.
Interesting.
So, like, you can give your own spin on it, which is, I guess, fun is stretching it.
No, I know what you mean.
It's super interesting, at least.
When I took Latin, we used to sing the Star Spangled Banner in Latin every morning in class. O potes ne cerni, grateful gente dies.
He's making this up.
I am not. Father Monteleone's Latin class.
I took German, and I can sing Happy Birthday in German.
Go on.
Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles.
Nailed it. I know some of, like, the oldest, like, Babylonian tablets that they found are poems.
Yeah.
Because people were like, oh, I can write now. I'll write down my dumb thoughts.
Well, I also
can try to get laid with that other lady.
I mean, also, a lot of these epic poems and stuff, they were just stories that were basically sung.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, they were ballads, if they were anything.
Well, that's how you get children to remember things. I mean,
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, when there's no entertainment, you know, why not sing the story of Beowulf instead of just saying it out loud? Now, what about, Shel Silverstein?
I did read Shel Silverstein as a child.
I love Shel Silverstein. Actually, I'm reading it to my daughter now, and I'm remembering how much I loved that as a child.
Yeah.
And I think with that, again, we sort of make, there's exceptions, like, I don't really love poetry, but Shel Silverstein. Like, well, of course, because it's okay to be a little flowery or, like, a little silly.
Or, like, nursery rhymes. Nursery rhymes are poems. But,
absolutely.
Like, everybody knows Hickory Dickory Dock. Everybody knows Mary Had a Little Lamb. Like,
I don't know these.
You don't know Mary Had a Little
What's
Lamb?
Hickory Dickory Dock.
I can hear you when you do that.
What?
Nothing.
I'm going to blow your mind.
Go on.
Greatest American poet, Abraham Lincoln. No. He's considered, by a lot of people, to be the greatest American poet.
A lot of wrong people.
Because of, you know, the Gettysburg Address. Like, if you read what he wrote, it's very poetic. It's very, like, cadenced and
I had to memorize simple. The Gettysburg Address in my senior year.
In Latin.
In history class. I'm sorry, it was English class.
Can you remember?
Fourscore and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. Mm-hmm. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. That's as much as I remember.
That's pretty good, though, but it's very poetic, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm not disagreeing that the Gettysburg Address is poetic, but I would argue that there are better American poets.
Now, what do you guys think constitutes poetry? What makes something
That's so hard.
A poem?
I mean, I'm sure there's probably a, like...
I did no research on this, so there's no right
I mean,
answer.
I'm sure there's probably, like, a...
meter, you know?
I was going to say, like, yeah. Like the sense of rhythm, a sense of, if not necessarily, like, meter, like iambic pentameter, right. Or, like, any of that, but, like, a sense of, it has a different, it sounds different than prose.
There's, like, a flow to it. It's... If you have to compare it to, like, a drawing, like, language would be, like, a square, and, like, poetry would be, like...
A cube?
A circle. Or, like, something that's more smooth in my brain. I don't know. That's just how I can relate to it.
A sine wave?
Visually, yeah. Like, a sine... Like, there's a movement to it.
Yeah.
But... I don't know, like, technically, I don't know enough about poetry to even pretend.
I feel like it's like we were talking about last week, like, with pornography. Like, yeah. I don't know what it is, but I know it when right. I hear it.
Well, it's just, I thought it was interesting. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting when Josh said that, you know, we could consider Abraham Lincoln to be a poet, when I think, like, yes, maybe some of his writing was poetic, mm-hmm. but does that make them poems, and does that therefore make him a poet?
Well, it's the same thing with lyrics, too, you know? I mean, I would say lyrics are way more poetic than...
Absolutely.
Like, those would be absolutely poems, but, you know, I think, like, spoken word poetry is, like, ridiculous. Right. Like, anyone yes. who's a spoken word poet, I'm sorry, but, like, it's crazy. Like, sometimes it's kind of clever and funny.
I would be interested to see how many spoken
poets... Well, there's, like, a million people listen to this podcast, actually, so at least 10 of them.
Yes. I have the analytics. It's about a million.
We are rich.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
Bringing that fat crack in the spine money. Actually, I do want to, I mean, we ask people every week, like, no, tell us what you feel about this thing. But, like, yeah. There's got to, I mean, it's funny because we all three started out like, we don't really like poetry. And then we spent, like, the last 20 minutes convincing, like, not even convincing
each
other.
Well, the thing is, you know, like, it's easy to say I don't like poetry because I think of it as, like, you know, I don't ever sit down and read
a poem,
Robert
yeah.
Frost. And I don't sit down and read Maya Angelou and stuff like that. But, like,
she's dead.
So can't read her stuff anymore now that she's dead.
She took it with her.
But, like,
she yoded it out.
I mean, I basically just, like, this morning I just Googled, like,
poem, but yeah,
poets.
Right.
And the list that came up, I was like, well, I've read that, and I've read that,
right.
And I've read that, and I've read that. Like, I
and
read
as soon
the
as you said
Shel
Silverstein, we were all like, oh yeah,
Shel
Silverstein.
Oh yeah, and that's what I mean. It's like, do I love poetry? No, but I mean, do I love Edgar Allan Poe? Yeah.
Right.
You know, like, have I read Bukowski? Absolutely. Like, there's all these people that, of course I've read that. But for some reason in my head, I'm like, I don't really like poetry.
I've moved on.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I think that you give a pass to older works. I really do.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless it's in the form of a song.
Nothing's more pretentious than someone being like, I'm a poet.
Exactly.
It's awful.
Somehow, yeah. At some point, it became really pretentious.
Yeah, it's awful.
Well, I think it's what happened is the Beats came, right? And everybody was like... You know, like Kerouac and, like mm-hmm. I said before, Ginsberg and
yeah.
William Burroughs. And, like, those motherfuckers were cool. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
there's no getting around. Like, if you listen to William Burroughs read his poetry, like, it's cool as mm-hmm. shit.
But also, those guys were so up their own asses.
Maybe you gotta be so up your own ass, though. You gotta spin around.
But what's happened is everybody has gone, like,
yeah.
Oh, I feel like that. That's how I feel inside. I have to tell the world how much like Jack Kerouac I am.
I think it became a thing, like, those guys were up their own asses, and then that became, like, the status quo for being a poet.
That's what I mean. Like, everybody, like, tried to emulate
right.
every aspect of it, including...
But they weren't emulating... Right. They were emulating the person doing the poetry.
But not the actual
Not the ability to...
Yeah.
Like, and not
those
the feeling.
Guys, those,
not
yeah.
the feeling of it.
They, like, weren't talking about, like, I felt this way, woe is me. They were talking about, like...
This is how I feel.
Other things.
Well, right, like right. you said, Josh, like, it was... These guys came around at a time of great social
yeah.
change.
The
and
world
so
was ready for that.
That lent the poetry a certain amount of gravity
yeah.
that is lacking when you read a Tumblr post.
Right. All right, cool. Well, good talk, guys.
Except for my Tumblr. Rad Poet 69. Follow me. Tumble.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back on episode 33. 3 times 10 plus 1. Cracking the spine. Welcome back to episode 33, segment 3. That's a lot of threes for cracking the spine.
Spine.
We did forget to do one shout out earlier when I was doing the laundry for titillating books.
Yeah.
Titillating, Josh.
Tit books.
Gotcha. At Space Butts, who's an awesome listener, dude, shout out a lot of really good stuff to us. Talking about books that titillated him.
Go.
George Martin's Song of Fire and Ice books.
Oh, because there's boning in that like crazy.
Like crazy.
A lot of incest boning for my taste.
But he brought up a really good point that it's all about like personal taste.
Yeah.
Like, which is something that
taste of incest.
It's something that we kind of glossed over. Like, it's so subjective.
Oh, we talked about
I think we got to that a little bit. I mean, not so much on this titillating, but we did on, like, the romance side.
We didn't.
Redheads. Big butts. There it is.
Oh, my God. We didn't.
Where are the books about that?
Address it directly that, like, this is obviously something, like, you can't just say, this is a titillating book and this one isn't.
Fair
it's,
enough. Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
a very.
It's a personal thing.
It's a personal thing.
Well, that's how, I mean, that's
something
how
that
love is.
Space Butts brought up for
Whoa.
Us.
Whoa. Did you hear the way she said that?
Space Butts.
He knows that I love his Twitter handle.
All right, cool. All right. So for the dramatic reading this week, we're going to try something a little bit different. So do try to stick around for that.
Definitely stick around because it'll be a hot train wreck.
We were kind of practicing during the break, and I think this is going to work.
It'll be horrible either way. Exactly. So whatever.
But thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week. With more, you know, insight right here on Cracking the Spine.
First time on Cracking the Spine, a poetry slam-off where two idiots enter and guaranteed two idiots leave. Josh and Sean, ladies and gentlemen.
The floor I yield to you, sir. It is your turn to go. I will sit back and listen to your flow.
A dog's anus on hot pavement. The United States of Cramerica. America.
L-O-V-E, a four-letter word. Not one I know too well, mother. Where were you in the morning when the Cocoa Puffs got soggy? Mermen on the television. No snorks for me. Smurfs underwater? Drowning my thoughts. Childhood bloated, floating corpse on the surface. No one send help. Let him die.
Wolverine Snick. Saturday night, Nick. A dog's anus on a hot pavement. United States of Cramerica. America.
Rotting flower petals adorn my head. So much dread I feel. Test day nakedness all over my pubescence. Wake me up before you go-go. Leave me alone, though, for I wish to play video games. Tomorrow will be another time. Do we ever get there? Were we ever yesterday? Seems so far away.
Closing time. Every new beginning is some other beginning's end.
Yep, definitely two idiots leaving this whole thing.
Can't snap. I'm too sweaty from slamming.
And that has been Cracking the Spine's very first
and last
poetry slam off.